Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Healthy Gut Girl. This is stuff your doctor should know. I'm coming to you live from deep inside your large intestine, and I am really cracking up here today because I have this very funny guest on. You have to go on Instagram and follow him right now. His name is Leo Wick, and W-I-K, I believe. And he is just hilarious. I've been following him for a little bit, thanks to Constantine. And, you know, he just makes fun of this whole wellness industry. And, you know, it's kind of a funny industry. It's pretty silly. You can really get caught up. And I think Justin from Extreme Health Radio and I had talked about this a couple shows ago. You know, just getting caught up in all the minutiae of trying to get healthy. And for some people who are on the outside of this world looking in, and maybe they don't really have a lot of health issues, they might look at this as like just a waste of time, you know, that a lot of us who are taking supplements and who are doing biohacking or really delving into specific things like metabolic function, you know, thyroid function, or, you know, mineral dysregulation, like they look at all this like enough already, you know? And, there is an element to that that's totally true, but it's also hard because a lot of people who are in this wellness space, like myself, you know, have had health challenges, and we don't want to just sit back and take the meds. You know, we want to fight back and we want to figure out how to thrive in spite of it. And I just believe in our, you know, God-given design that is our ability to heal. And so I believe that that requires attention, you know, to dig in and get deep. But sometimes we just get carried away and it just starts to sound really, really stupid. And this guy, you know, he's been there, done that. I really thought I would call the show Been There, Done That because he says it a lot and it's really appropriate and funny. Because he has. He's been there, he's done that, and he gets it. He gets that it's, you know, easy to get caught up in this stuff. And he lightheartedly makes fun of a lot of people in the industry. I was thinking of asking him if he would, like, do an impersonation of me to see if I could take it. If I could take it and like it and share it. But, I mean, I make fun of myself, you know. I know I'm pretty ridiculous a lot, always talking about poop and stuff. Pooping periods and things like that. But, you know, we're humans and we're supposed to be talking about that. Like, you know, we're like monkeys picking at each other's parts and looking at it and smelling it and, you know, trying to figure it out. But, or maybe I'm just like that. I don't know. So listen, I have a really exciting, huge sale to share with you at the end of this show. To get a really great discount, a discount I've never offered before, on Premier Research Labs products. So, you know, they're one of my favorites and they're so high quality, so incredibly, incredibly high quality. Although since Dr. Marshall passed away, things have changed and there are products that I won't use of theirs, but we won't talk about those. We're just going to talk about the ones that I really recommend and we will do that at the end of this show. So I want you to just sit back and enjoy Leo. He's so funny. He had me so hyper. And yeah, just enjoy him. Follow him. All his info is in the show notes. And you really should follow him and even hire him because I think he keeps things really lighthearted, but he can still dig deep and help you. So, all right, enjoy. I was just catching up on some of your posts, just sitting here just... I gotta get it out of my system. I was
dying. There's some spicy ones there. Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I mean, they're all really funny, but the one where what's his name is just
which one
saying shut up just like over and over on
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Because you know I am probably an annoying health influencer and have been for probably as long as Instagram has been around. And I was going through my Instagram and I was like, yeah, I've definitely said that before.
Been there, done that too. You're not the only one. Yeah.
Mainly the sugar thing. And I feel like I just started going down the like Ray Pete rabbit hole. I mean, I've always been a Ray Pete fan because I have an estrogen dominant support group on Facebook and it has like 20,000 members now, which I'm super happy about. And
that's growing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so we do a lot of progesterone talk, and I'm also the CEO of Ona's Natural Plant-Based Hormone Support.
Okay. I know that you're the owner of it. You're saying
I'm the CEO of Ona's.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's some old school stuff. Yeah. That's been around for a long time. I used to buy the testosterone like booster or whatever.
Oh,
it's called.
Wow. Oh yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So that just happened after Ona passed away. She was in my group and I just sort of, you know, she was helping her grow her company. And then we were going to collaborate and then she passed away. And
this is kind of recently then, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's like 4 years ago, maybe five years ago now.
Yeah.
89, 21. Yeah, 5 years ago.
Well, you know, the last 2 years gone by like that, right? So
it's weird. Yeah, time warp.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a big topic of conversation in the group, of course, is like progesterone therapy and everything. And why did I bring that up? Because because the sugar thing, you know, that's how I've known about Ray-Pete is just because of the progesterone stuff. But I never really went down that rabbit hole, and now I really am going down that rabbit hole. And like learning that sugar is not what we think it is. So I'm going to make a few statements through this hour and I just want you to just respond. So respond to this.
Okay. So let's see.
Sugar is just like cocaine.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's obviously coming from somebody who hasn't done cocaine. Like, you know, it's kind of a silly thing for me to say, right? But I don't know, you know, people that have done cocaine and that have had or been around people that have serious addictions to real drugs, I think it would be a pretty dumb thing to say that sugar is just like cocaine.
Right.
Now, I understand what they're trying to say. They're trying to say that it's, you know, mimicking the same receptors in your brain as the ones that get turned on when you're using cocaine.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's a question for you. What came first, food that had sugar in it or cocaine, like in the history of humankind?
Right. Wow. Well.
Food, probably, right?
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be actually clearer and more realistic to say that cocaine mimics the food receptors?
The sugar. Yeah. Okay.
That See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, that's another argument to say that that's a bad thing to have going on, happening, right? Those receptors getting turned on. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
But my point is, we've had food before we had cocaine.
Yeah.
So it's actually clearer to say that cocaine is trying to mimic the food that we're ingesting that's making us feel all bad and gooey and all that, you know, all those things associated negatively with drugs. So,
right.
You know,
it's just semantics. It's the way that they put it to make it sound like it's so dangerous.
Well, because they want something. It's much easier to say sugar is like cocaine versus saying, well, you know, it seems like people that eat too much sugar get fat or have insulin resistance or have all sorts of health problems. But we really can't pinpoint it down to that because actually people used to consume a lot more sugar back in the day, right? Mm. If your grandparents, say, ate cookies and made flour, you know, use a lot of flour, a lot of cookies, a lot of beans. So all these foods that are kind of demonized now, I'm just pointing out that all of our grandparents ate those foods a lot. I don't know about your grandma. My grandma definitely ate a lot of sugar cookies and stuff like that. She never had diabetes. I mean, it doesn't run in my family. You could say it's genetics, whatnot, whatever. But my point is, I don't think it's that simple to say that sugar is like cocaine, so we should avoid it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's another distinguishing characteristic about when they're talking about sugar, because I think it's really like when we talk about people who are not well and they have an addiction to sugar, we're not talking about them going and eating like spoonfuls of refined sugar or cane sugar. They're having like pastries and there's another component to that, right? They're eating like Snickers bars and they're buying candy and going to Costco and buying the family size bucket of Hershey Kisses or whatever. And and that's, I feel like that's what's missing in it, because don't we break everything down to basically sugar in order to use it as fuel? Like that's the stuff that goes in our fuel tank. We eat a steak, we eat a whatever, it all gets broken down, and that final thing it becomes is technically sugar, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. It's a great thing to point out for people, I think. Yeah. Because people, you know, scientists, the uber duber sciencey people, which I've been around, I've been, you know, friends with, I've been a part of them too. You know, I studied kinesiology, so I've been there, done that.
Okay.
They would, you know, say sugar for everything, honestly, a lot of times.
Yeah.
Right. And that gets confuses people because they don't realize that they're just talking about, yeah, carbohydrates. You know, it's the same thing kind of.
Right.
So it's an important thing for you to point out. I think it's great because people get super confused because I think when most people say sugar, they literally mean sugar, the white stuff that you get, you know, in your CNH, whatever bags of sugar,
yeah.
Which is, by the way, 50% fructose, 50% glucose. People should also, you know, understand that fruits have fructose in it. And, you know, it's kind of, everybody talks about, well, most people, let's say, talk about fruit as being a healthy thing. Although there was definitely a trend for the last, I say 10, 20 years, right? Of talking about fructose as the devil and, you know, that it's going to give you liver damage, it's going to make you fat, all that kind of stuff. Now I feel like, and I'm just talking about like trend wise that I'm noticing, you know, like yeah. Socially or on Instagram or, you know, social media, it seems like we're so slowly coming out of that where you have more reasonable people talking about fructose as in like, yeah, I don't think a bucket of strawberries is going to make you fat or, right. You know, eating a banana is going to make you fat.
Right.
So and just to point out that, yeah, fructose, there's glucose there too, by the way, you know, and what literally table sugar is 50% fructose, 50% glucose.
Oh, well, it's interesting because I know a fruitarian. Do you know, Brian,
Michael?
Brian Mirabella?
Yeah, Brian sure.
Mirabella. So the
yeah.
breathing guy, the breathing technique guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that guy is no joke, a fruitarian, and he's shredded.
Yeah.
I mean,
there was there's the OG kind of guy that kind of coined or called himself that, Michael. I can't remember his last name, but he was the fruitarian. He was a guy that lived in New York. He would run to work every day and back. And
it's
he just
not the
ate
same guy, I wonder.
Is his name Brian? I thought his name was Brian. Michael. Maybe did he move to Hawaii with his wife?
No.
Okay,
no.
Then different guy. Okay. Well, see, they all do that.
Who in New York? Yeah.
But that's actually how my point of view evolved with that too. Is you know, because I've also been vegan, I've been fruitarian, I like to explore all these things, and I like to try them out before talking shit about things that I haven't ever tried in my life. You know what I mean? I think it's an important point too. Is that? Yeah, you would listen to people like Robert Lustig talk about, you know, fructose is the devil, blah, blah, blah. It's going to make you fat. It's so bad for you. And then you meet a fruitarian that eats nothing but fruit. And they look, I mean, they almost look anorexic sometimes, right? There's definitely a lot of healthy ones, but I'm just saying a lot of them are way too skinny, right? So if fruit is so bad for you, it's kind of hard to connect those dots there. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because I think we're all kind of going back to the old, we're coming full circle back to the like Weston Price, nourishing tradition, Sally Fallon thing, where it's just like, you know, this omnivore diet with really homemade, healthy, mm-hmm. like, you know, make it yourself stuff. And I don't know if you follow Turk. It's this woman, she's Turkish. And
Aysen?
Is
she from England?
No, she lives in Turquoise Kitchen. Turquoise Kitchen. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Her name is Betul, and I think she lives in like Maine or something, and she does like the mm-hmm. Amish thing. Dude, she'll make like brownies and just do. She'll like start with the flour that she rose herself, and that she's just like. I mean, it is crazy, but she's eating everything. Everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I love that. You know, I feel like it's what we always were. And then we just went into this weird.
Yeah. Hacking and that's what I'm saying too. It's, you know, I've been through the nitty gritty of stuff and, you know, looking at studies and reading about studies and comparing stuff. And I think we're getting too far into that stuff and way and too, well, too far away from those sort of things where it's just
disconnecting
basics, disconnecting from just, you know, hey, you want to have a cake, just make it yourself. You know, I do like that. Pollen, right? Is it Omnivore's Dilemma, the name of the book?
Yeah.
Where he just says, if you want to have a cake, but just make it yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably a big step into, you know, being a healthier person or being more connected. And I think I agree with that so much.
And if you can't make it, don't cook it. Don't eat it. Don't do it. No. I mean, it's hard. Cooking is freaking hard, much less baking. It's
100%.
Hard. But the point is, if you start to do that, it does mm-hmm. open up a world where you get a connection with your food and you start to have this different relationship with food, which I think mm-hmm. is really kind of your whole message. Even it's coming off as this like hilarious, like taking the piss on everybody. But it's just, I was reading this really obnoxious health influencers thread on Instagram, and that health influencer happened to be me. And it said, and it said that, you know, sugar blocks hormone receptors.
Yes.
And that it can worsen estrogen dominance.
Yes.
Speak on that, because that's actually a study that I pulled out and actually posted because of
that. Know what else can do that? Free fatty acids. If you're in ketosis, if you're under stress, if I punch you in the face. My point is, a lot of these things happen, and because I've gotten away. Well, these things happen, but you got to remember, your body is not, I think because of health influencers, because of people that are super nitty gritty, we've gotten into this phase where people think your body's like a light switch, sort of like, you know, okay, either I am in ketosis or I'm out of ketosis, or I'm doing gluconeogenesis or I'm not doing gluconeogenesis. Your body is constantly in flux. It's always happening up and down. You probably heard that recent word, autophagy, right? It's really popular right now. Yes. when it comes to fasting. I made a post about that too, where people kind of have this idea, and I did too when I first got into this stuff, where if you are fasting, you are, you know, your autophagy gets turned on, mm-hmm. and you're doing all this cell cleanup, and it's healthy for you, and it's all good.
Dude, I said this on a television program once. On the
Yeah, been there, done that too. Now well, not on a television program, but been there, done that too. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just connecting with you because, like I said, it's nice to admit when you've, you know, you said something stupid, and it's just, it feels good. You know what I mean? Let it go.
Yeah, because it's science, and the science is never settled. So
yeah,
if you were going to say, so autophagy is what? It's just something that.
Well, it's not a light switch. It's happening in you right now when you're talking. It's happening between meals. It gets upregulated and downregulated. That's the way we should think of these things. So that's what I'm saying. When you think of sugar blocks this or sugar does this, yes, for the 20 minutes that you ate that meal, and then 30 minutes later, that receptor gets upregulated or downregulated. All these things are constantly in flux. It's not so easy to pinpoint these things as like a light switch, like at your house. You know what I'm
and
saying?
And that's what's causing my problems, right?
Yeah, we love that. When I get it, because like when you're sick and you are having health issues, I totally understand why people want to think like that and do think like that. And oftentimes they do think like that, then they do this experiment and they feel much better. And I agree. And, you know, I get it why people do that. It's because you want to pinpoint something and just fix your problem. Boom.
Yeah.
I got it. It's this. But here's the thing. A lot of times people will fix that problem and then another problem arises, or then it comes back. Right. Or,
right.
you know, the people that have been, that start fasting, they feel better. Then they get really into fasting. I've had that with clients happen. I've had that myself happen where people get so into fasting, then they start fasting every month, then they start fasting all the time. And then they're so emaciated. They have no muscle mass. They're just, they've gone so deep into this thing. They keep thinking that this is the thing that's going to help me because it helped me before.
Right.
Well, you know, as in life, right? What works for you today may not work for you tomorrow.
Right. Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because, and I'm sure a lot of women can relate to this, especially women who are my age and just getting to this point where, and I've always been thin, but now I'm getting this like apron of belly fat and this adipose tissue where I'm like, okay, it's starting to play into my hormone imbalance. But I decided, because I'm not a coffee drinker big time, because I'm like adrenaline dominant. So I'm always like a chihuahua on crack. So I decided I'm going to try the Bulletproof, even though I have recommended it in the past to people. It's kind of my own version of Bulletproof though. It's not like the butter. It's just like heavy cream, preferably raw and not heated too much to where, you know, it's boiling or any, not even simmering. And then just like a tiny little bit of coffee, like 4 ounces. And then tons of cream. And then I do that in the morning. And then I went to the gym and I do this like 27 minute workout. That's not too intense, but it's intense enough that I'm like worked over from it later. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, in 2 weeks, I lost 10 pounds. I was like, woohoo, this is going great. Had super lots of energy. Everything was awesome. And then I get on and then I'm starting to like become friends with this guy, Constantine, who sent me your way. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you're adrenaline dominant. And
probably
you're
a bad
just,
idea.
Yeah. And so I stopped and I'm working on my thyroid balance and trying not to be adrenaline dominant. Mm-hmm. But now I gained that weight back like that. And now mm-hmm. I got muffin top and now I'm just like bummed, but I'm still trying to just do a healthier version of what I was doing before. And let me tell you, it's not helping with the weight. So you can see why people go down that road because
100%. And I've been there, done that too. As I've been telling you, I've been into this world for a long time. since I was, you know, before a teenager, basically. I just had a natural interest for these things. Nice. So obviously, naturally, you get influenced by the low carb world. And I was influenced by them a lot for a long time. Mm-hmm. I used to wake up and, you know, fasting is good for you. Autophagy is happening. Drink coffee. Don't drink it with milk because it's calories and that's going to turn off your autophagy, like we talked about before, which doesn't really happen, by the way. Mm. And I used to do a black coffee, maybe two shots of espresso or just, you know, super strong pour over. And I would go, and I live in West LA, which is talked about, which is, mm-hmm. you know, it's like a good, I don't know, 7 miles or so from here to the beach. I'd run from here to Venice Pier and then back. So it was like, whoa. You know, yeah, 15 miles. I've done that many
half
times.
Half marathon.
Yeah. Now again, super lean. You feel good. You're jazzed up. And then as soon as I started, eventually when I started incorporating more carbohydrates, more food into my life, I did the same thing happened to me. I got very, very fat. Mm-hmm. I got, you know, puffy and, you know, blah, 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 estrogen, whatever you want to call it, whatever the pinpoint thing you want to call it. But it happened to me. But eventually, and this happens to a lot of people that go from being on a low carb diet to, you know, consuming carbohydrates like a normal person, mm-hmm. is you gain a lot of weight. You can call it water weight. You can call it whatever, inflammation, whatever you
this
want.
This is flabbery, flubby.
Estrogen, yeah, flabbery, flubby,
adipose,
whatever.
Fatty muffin.
But my point is, a lot of us, you'll notice a 20-pound gain, and then you'll level off. If you're
20
not being,
pounds, dude, my
oh,
husband.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm a big, yeah, I got thick with 4 C's. So it happens. My point is, and you know, do you want to be the person that has to diet like a crazy motherfucker? I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm allowed to.
It's fine. I'm putting explicit on this one.
Okay, good.
Which always gets more downloads. I'm telling you.
See, mm-hmm. you see?
Yeah. No, you're right.
Mm-hmm. I was saying, do you really want to be the person that wants to diet like crazy all the time and be fasting all the time and under eating all the time? Or do you want to be that friend? We've all probably had that friend that, you know, eats whatever he wants or she wants, works out and looks the same. It looks pretty good. You know, there's always that one guy or a girl that I know many guys and girls like that. They'll eat McDonald's, they'll eat whatever, and they look great no matter what. Now I'm not saying you should go eat shit food and just, you know, be lucky, because a lot of people are just lucky that way. Mm-hmm. But my point is, I'm always trying to be the person that I don't want to lose my mind trying to stay healthy, because a lot of people have and are doing that currently. And I've also been there, done that, you know, getting so obsessed about this thing that you become, you know, I'm not a fan of terms, but orthorexic, as people say.
Orthorexic.
You heard that? You haven't heard that one? Oh, yeah. That one's trending. Yeah. Well, you know, you're so obsessed about this. I got to be healthy. I can't do this. I can't eat that. If I'm going out with my friends, I'm fasting. I can't eat right now. I can't have one drink. If I have one drink, I'm going to get fat. My estrogen is going to go up. Oh, my God. Yeah. You know?
Well, I was that person where I could eat anything. I was just like In-N-Out burger, whatever I wanted. It was all good. And you know, but I wasn't healthy. I was mm-hmm. fit. I was skinny, and mm-hmm. but I wasn't healthy.
That's
but,
true too.
And it was also all those PUFAs, all those polyunsaturated fats were definitely not doing me any favors at all. But, and you know, I think it was also contributing to a lot of like prostaglandin issues and made for really painful periods and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. that's a whole other subject, but so that's really kind of a thing that is easy to do when you don't feel well, when you have mm-hmm. like issues, like when you have autoimmune issues and you've got different types of, you know, non-communicable diseases, or you've got really bad periods, or you're mm-hmm. infertile or whatever, is mm-hmm. that you start to get obsessed, or you can get obsessed with what, how can I fix it? Mm-hmm. So then you get obsessed with people like, you know, Dr. Rhonda Patrick.
Ooh, Dr. Patrick here. In so a recent study,
if you eat 500 pounds of broccoli sprouts that you grow yourself.
Did you see that video that you made about talking about how estrogen may be very beneficial for gray brain matter?
Gray brain matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, the smartest person in the world that you think is the smart person in the world, you can read, as I'm saying, you can read so many studies that you may just get so confused and you don't even know what you're talking about anymore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the stuff that she promotes, I would probably say that's a more of an anti-estrogenic approach to life, you know, like lower uh-huh. carbohydrates and doing a lot of aerobic fitness and exercising, you know, and then she can be like, hey, let's up that estrogen. You'll feel better. Right.
Right. Well, that's a really popular thing right now, is people are really going for it with the estrogen. But
Have you had experience with that? Have you ever been prescribed estrogen?
Yes, I have. And you know, Ona's sells estradiol and estriol. And you know, I'm coming into this whole new thing about that, where I'm just like, I have to be open about what I'm listening to and hearing, and also about all the people that I work with, and my own experience, and then my mother's experience, and watching. In fact, this was a big conversation about with one of my guests, was about you know, how come women feel better when they dose estrogen, especially in perimenopause and menopause? And you know, this whole concept that all, and you even kind of talked about this in one of your posts about you know, estrogens being tied up in the tissues, and you know, the estrogen, and then when you take progesterone, it opposes that, and it can knock it out of the receptors, and we call it in the group estrogen kickback. But if you have been on this, if you've been on this estrogen dominant cycle your whole life with birth control and maybe the Mirena Coil, and then you get into perimenopause and you start dosing it and all this stuff, and then the foods and the xenoestrogens, it is hard to believe that anybody really does need estrogen, but it needs to be regulated. And that's the part that no one agrees on, is how do we regulate that, you know? So,
Well, important question. Did it help you?
well, so this is a good thing about my mother, right? My mom has been on estrogen almost her whole life. And now if she gets off her estrogen, she will go directly into diabetic mode. And so the estrogen's keeping her balance, her blood sugars balanced. It's keeping her feet, her joint pain away. And that is what she perceives to be actually the truth. But I have watched her throughout this whole cycle, and then trying to balance it out, and noticing that she's starting to have cognition issues and stuff like that, and reading the repeat stuff and going, okay, she has, it's almost like me with adrenaline. It's like I have been functioning so well as a chihuahua on crack my whole life. But now that I'm getting into menopause, it's starting to show up in other ways that are not beneficial to me. So did it help me? Absolutely, it helped me. Was it the right thing for me to be doing? Probably not, right? It's like dysregulation working for you.
You know, my mother's been on that. Also, she went through menopause and she was given prescribed estrogen. It didn't help her at all. It made her feel good for, I don't remember, a month maybe or so. And then all the symptoms got worse, came back even worse. So, you know, it's a t that's what I'm saying. These things are unbelievably complicated.
Very, and very individual, because we don't know what you've got going on.
Yes.
All
Because
this
in a
stuff.
doctor's world, it's like, let's take more estrogen. But by the way, it does increase, you know, cancer, you know, ovarian cancer, breast cancer. That's a fact. That's why all trials that are long-term trials for estrogen, they've all been stopped because of that, because you get more cancer. Now, and in the repeat world, it's like estrogen is bad. But if you take out estrogen out of your, like if there was a such a thing, if we could just take out your
Oh
estrogen, you'd
no,
die.
we'd
You're gonna
die.
die, right?
Right.
So unbelievable complex relationship here going on. You know, at the end of the day, you're gonna have to try it. I don't, yeah, I do know a lot of women that have had great experiences with using progesterone.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm all about for sure. Just the studies are really great.
Well, not like I said, you know, studies are studies, but if 20 people tell me it doesn't work, I don't really give a shit what is the studies say. But so that's why I'm saying a lot of people do have great experiences with progesterone. I do know a lot of women that haven't had any beneficial or not as such improvements in their life when using progesterone. So it's very, very complicated issue.
I mean, I have a whole this whole group of women who, when they a lot of them start taking the progesterone, and they're worse. They're much worse because of this estrogen kickback, and they can't take it. And so, you know, you can't, I'm just like, listen, guys, I'm not here trying to just sell Onas, because I am doing that. I'm also selling Onas, but I'm not here like, you know, hey, this has to work for you or something's wrong with you. It's like everybody is so different. I'm trying Progest E right now, which is Repeat's progesterone. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. I've been doing it for 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden I'm having crazy hot flashes through the night. And I'm like, well, guess what? This fancy schmancy low dose, low strength progesterone is not working for me. I'll be damned. So now I got to figure something else out. And you're right, it's super complex. So, you know, so I want to talk about Dave Asprey. And I don't know why. I just want to, because I just, the biohacking world is so interesting to me. And what makes you, and you kind of already said it, you kind of already said it, but I just want to know why you pick on him so much.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, probably people think I pick on him so much, but you know, when I saw that guy initially, he probably became kind of more well-known when he was first time on the Joe Rogan Experience. Right. Yeah. And this was like when Joe Rogan was not, it wasn't the podcast that it is today. You
right,
know,
I
they
remember
would talk
that.
About, you remember that? Yeah. So yeah. I'm like a OG fan, proud to say, you know, I was watching it on the live streams back in the day, you know, or was, there was such a thing. Well, I don't really remember what servers we were using, but anyway, for me personally, maybe I just have a good bullshit radar, but that guy, my radar went off right away, always initially with that guy, even when he was just starting his coffee line that has a low mold, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And I've also been into coffee. I've been in the coffee world for a while. I'm a big coffee drinker. So, you know, he always just gave me these bad vibes. I don't mean to pick on anybody personally as just to make fun of them and to be an asshole myself.
Right. No, you have a good reason. It's a good point. Very good points that your hilarious posts make.
It's more so that people like him have led me down bad worlds. Personally, I know a lot of people that they have let into things that they shouldn't be doing, or things that were really bad for them, or just straight up lying and bullshitting, like the whole mold toxin thing, right? Because by the way, have you noticed it's not talked about anymore, right?
Wait.
Is it? Oh, is it? Well, not in his line. Now he's
not
just
in
a
his line,
of coffee.
But I'm talking about, isn't coffee one of the top five list of mycotoxic foods? Like up there with corn?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
But why isn't it talked about in Bulletproof anymore? He doesn't, it's not really a thing promoted anymore. Right.
Oh,
my point
I
is maybe because his coffee is not any more special than that other coffee.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay.
You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't forget, just like with food, just like with supplements, everything is going to have a positive and a negative. So with coffee, yes. Yeah. It does have some mycotoxins in it. It has some mold in it, yada, yada. How much? Do you know? I don't know. You have to look at the studies, which coffee, you know, so it's such a, again, complicated thing. We all want to just pinpoint it. Oh, this coffee is mold free and this one is not. And that's not true, because all coffee will contain a certain amount of mold because of the way it's roasted, because of the way it's dried, because of the way it's picked, what country it came from. And that's what you, the best thing you can do is just minimize all those things by buying organic coffee, making sure it's freshly roasted, or even buying green coffee beans, right? From places like, Sweet Maria's up there in North California, and roasting them yourself.
What?
Yeah. You've never done that before?
No.
Oof.
No.
Oof. Ooh, change your life.
Oh,
but you're going to
really?
Have to buy a little roaster. But if you're using that to sell your stupid supplement or to sell your thing that you don't even know what the fuck you're talking about, I take offense to that, because you're just saying that just to sound cool and different, just to stand out.
Right.
And that's not cool, you know? And
it's calling him out. You're calling him out. And that's
yes.
Cool. Yeah.
Yes.
It's funny. Okay. So I had some other things written down that I wanted to talk about.
Drama in the, you know, that's the other thing that happens in our health sphere, right? Is a lot of drama and not a, I wish we could all make fun of each other a little bit and, you know, call each other out and understand that you actually, people say this now, by the way, I feel it's an American culture thing of like agree to disagree, but they don't really mean that. They just say agree to disagree.
Yeah. And then
I'm
they turn
like,
around and
let's agree to. Yeah. They're just saying that. I don't, it's a very, you know, like I'm Russian. I don't know if you know.
I was going to ask you your accent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm from Russia originally. So I don't, you know, we don't have that. There's no such thing as agree to disagree. I mean, again, how about this? How about we just disagree and still be cool? I'm totally fine with that. I would love that if we just thought, you know, you want to take vitamin D3? Okay, I don't want to take vitamin D3. It doesn't mean that everything you have to say is stupid or wrong or vice versa or correct. Why not? Why can't we just disagree a little bit? I feel like a lot of times people are looking for their guru again because they're looking for that person. Okay, let's agree on everything. You know, I've been there and done that with people, maybe like Paul Check. I don't know if you've ever followed Paul Check, where, you know, you just kind of want to start agreeing with everything he says, and then you know, and then you're like, oh yeah, like let's have two wives. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know if that's a good idea. You know, it's things like that. It's kind of funny, but hey, at the same time, hey, it's working for you. Awesome. I'm happy for you. You know, it doesn't mean that we have to agree on every single thing in life for me to, for me to respect you and to think that you have something good and valuable to share, because I think
that's
you can
what
both.
I like about Joe Rogan's show too, is I think he can maintain that position quite often for for the most part, except chiropractors. He has an issue with chiropractors.
He does. Well, it's because he's had bad experiences, but I agree. I agree with you though.
Yeah, I can't even. I had to do a whole podcast just on that back when he said that. I was like, I dare him. And get this pseudo doctor, get this pseudo doctor on there that's just like talk about quacks, man. She was nuts. But anyway, yeah, that. You know, I just had Justin from Extreme Health Radio on, and he said it's such a beautiful way about this. He's just like, you know, we're all wrong and we're all right about, you know, there's a lot of things we're wrong about and there's a lot of things we're right about. And if you take this position, like your way or the highway, you're going to lose a lot of friends. You're going to lose a lot of people. People are going to resent you. They might be on your team for a while until you disagree with them. And then they're going to be your enemy because, you know, it's just the nature of what happens when you are. And having my group for so many years now, you know, I'm very confrontational. I can be, and in my group, I have to really quell that because if I get up there and I start and someone says something I disagree with and I come at them with like, you know, this attitude, how, what kind of group am I going to have? You know, your group is going to grow when you can all have like a town hall forum all the time and just be cool about it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just don't be a jerk is what it comes down to for sure.
I'm with you on that.
Right. Okay. Well, Constantine was like, ask him about tea, about doing tea, but we hit on hormones a little bit, but do you have something to say about like men who
do
like,
I have something to say? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he's talking about my experience using testosterone. I've used testosterone. Again, I think a lot of people talk about testosterone. They never use it. I think it's kind of a red flag right away, you know,
dating
website. Have you used it? No. Okay. So why the fuck are you talking about it, my friend? Well, hey, it works. Right. You know, there's a lot of those health influencers nowadays that will, first of all, there's a lot of health influencers that will tell you, you can eat vegan diet or you can eat this diet, you can eat that diet. And then you look at them and you're like, well, you don't look the way you look because of this diet. Example, Liver King, right? It's not the liver, guys. Just pointing that out. Coming from a guy, I've had, you know, I work at Gold's Gym Venice here, you know.
Do so you?
Yeah. So, you know, like I'm in the bodybuilding. I'm not a bodybuilder.
That's right. I saw a post where you were at Gold's, right? You've probably seen my husband sometimes.
Oh yeah. Anyway. So I'm around that world. been there and done that. So it's not the liver, you guys, you know. So what I don't like, again, the bullshit artist stuff. It's like, take my supplements. Take the thyroid, the desiccated thyroid, or take the whatever, desiccated gallbladder. And we all know that he's really just, you know, popular because of his physique and his outlandish videos, which, you know, it may sound like I'm jealous, but I'm not. Good for it. Like, go ahead, do your thing. I just don't like the bullshit because, you know, again, it's the same thing that bodybuilders were doing 20 years ago when they were selling BCAAs, like branched-chain amino acids and, you know, essential amino acids and all these supplements. And really, they're just taking steroids. And it's like, is it the branched chain amino acids that you're drinking during your workout, or is it the steroids that making you look like that?
Right.
You know, and, I mean, can you imagine how many kids were, you know, just like how much money was spent on stupid supplements that, by the way, don't fucking work. They just don't work. Yes, yeah. The studies show they don't make you look the way you want to look. What really works is the pharmaceutical stuff, you know, that you get over, you know, at the counter.
Right.
So taking testosterone, it works. For sure. I don't know. What are you curious about?
I know. Well, not, I mean, I guess it's just like, I'm with you. So we don't really have any contention to here to just like poke at, because I feel like, would you say that about someone who's on progesterone? Oh, because I'm not having hot flashes. Oh, she's on progesterone. That's why. Well, that's okay. Right.
Yeah. Like, 100%.
I also don't have migraines because I take magnesium. Are you going to give me shit about that? You know,
100%.
Like, so it's like that. Now, if you're somebody like Liver King who looks like strange, like his body is definitely like
strange, not,
almost like a cartoon of a human. Like he looks like someone would be in a comic book, and
he looks like a superhero.
And so that, you know, we could pick at that because it's like, all right, well, what else are you doing? You're probably doing some growth hormone too, because it's only so much you can get out of low normal dosing tea that you would maybe naturally be making yourself if you weren't, you know, 48 or whatever.
Just high dose that tea then, you know.
Exactly.
You can keep going.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now I will say this also, that everybody that I've known, all my heroes, gurus that have been on testosterone for many years, I don't know any of them that has lived into their 80s or 90s or above.
Right.
I will say that too. You know, Charles Poliquin, John Meadows, you know, these are famous people. You know, there's a lot of people.
These are famous bodybuilders.
Charles Poliquin is probably the most famous strength coach of all time.
He's trained
the most Olympians. Yeah, he's had massive, huge superstars that he worked with. He's, you know, done lots of seminars, which I've done a lot of his courses and everything. Very smart, intelligent man. But he passed away pretty early. John Meadows was a professional bodybuilder.
Yeah,
great John guy, Meadows. Loved by everybody. Yeah, passed away recently.
Yeah,
you could say it's genetics. I don't really care. My point is, I've never seen an 85-year-old dude that's jacked like that and you know, still alive and kicking it. Right now it's very, very trendy to. I know lots of dudes that are on 40s and on have prescription TRT, right?
Yeah,
a lot of them. Especially in places like LA, Florida, it's huge popular. You know, everybody wants to look good.
Yeah.
Again, I'm all for do what you want. Fully support that. I really mean that. But I don't know if it's necessarily the healthiest thing to have that much amount of muscle mass on you.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And I think there's also something to be said about what the natural levels of T would be, you know, like, you know, and then there's the additions when you get to that big, as big as these guys were and are, like what they're doing in addition to the testosterone. They're not just doing that. They're doing all these other things to prevent estrogen to prevent it converting to estrogen and to prevent, you know, and then they're doing excess so that they can actually gain more.
Correct.
And so that I feel like you could do the same thing, not with progesterone, because progesterone doesn't collect the way testosterone does and it doesn't convert unless it's needed. So estrogen, though, you know, you could say the same for that. Like these people who are trying to transition and they're starting to do excess estrogen because they want their boobs to grow faster or they want their lips to be fuller. And so they're packing it on and it's working. But what else is it doing? And
Correct. So
I'm with you on that. It's like,
yeah, the what else is it doing part is, yeah, it's, you know, it makes you look good. It makes your muscles look hard. It makes you veiny, you know, been there, done that. But what else is it doing on the inside? Like, you know, I, by the way, I know all the studies right now don't show any negative. Blah, blah, blah. I know if you're using it at prescription doses, I get you. I get you. But I'm just saying, it's just a fact, right? I don't know many guys that are jacked, shredded, looking like Liver King that are 85, 90. Now, hey, maybe your goal is not to live that long either, by the way, which I'm totally fine with.
Right.
But I don't see, you know, on a practical, that's what I like to talk about, just practicals kind of level. I don't see a lot of people that are living into old age. You know, there was that very famous documentary. What is it? Bigger, Stronger, Faster, or Stronger?
Yeah,
you know, the Mark Bell brothers. Yeah, which kind of at the end of the movie, you're kind of like, yeah, steroids are not dangerous. Like, we should all be on them, right? They make you look great. They make you look. And guess what? What has been happening recently? All these fucking bodybuilders are dying, by the way, right? Rich Piana, John Met, like I said, I don't, you know, there's so many recently just dying. There's young bodybuilders in their 20s dying. Now they'll always say, oh, they took too much or they took the biggest. Well, okay. So, you know, maybe it's not the healthiest thing to do in the world. Maybe some testosterone replacement therapy at prescribed doses is okay, but I don't know. I haven't seen yet. I want to see it. Maybe in 20 years, we'll get some dudes that are in their 90s or something. And they're just, you know, steroiding it up and they're still lifting. We'll see. We'll see. Haven't seen it yet though.
We haven't seen it yet. Yeah. I am seeing, it's interesting. I was just watching some program the other day and I was like, it was like a documentary. I think, oh, it was like this, like, something about serial killers. I don't know. I have a strange
why do girls
obsession.
Love that, huh?
I don't
why do girls?
Know.
What is it with you girls? And then you're like, I have so much anxiety.
I know. I can't sleep.
And then you're like watching serial killers.
I don't. I'm with you. I don't understand my obsession. I like scary movies too. And then I'm up at night and I'm like, oh my god, oh my god.
But
and
let's
I'm
keep like, watching season two.
You know what it is? It's probably adrenaline dominance.
Well, yeah, we get high off of that shit for sure.
Yeah.
Adrenaline
and then,
dumping. You know.
Yeah. And then also maybe like this problem solving thing, like. Maybe, I don't know. My men are problem solvers too. But anyway, it's like,
100%.
Yeah, but this, so I was watching this thing and this guy who looked like he was probably maybe a little older than me. He was in his late 50s. He was a detective. And I was like, this guy shredded. He was like, you know, he had full on white hair. Mm-hmm. He had like a really good physique and he looked his age. He looked older, but he looked like a fit older guy, but he didn't look like Liver King. He looked like he just takes care of himself and he's probably definitely on the T. Yeah. And so I was watching, remember that Rogan episode with the Dr. Michael or Dr. Mark and a quarterback and a mm-hmm. guy who was in the
Gordon? Mark Gordon, is it? Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it. And it was so fascinating to me because I have a traumatic brain injury. Thank you very much. And and they were talking about, you know, how these guys were about to kill themselves because they were so depressed and they all had traumatic brain injuries from whether it was the NFL or it was being in Afghanistan or whatever. And that they, that the thing that saved their lives was, you know, getting TRT, was getting actually, getting regulated hormonally. Mm-hmm. But what really bothered me about it is they didn't mention progesterone. And mm-hmm. I really think there's a component in there about opposing those, because testosterone can convert to estrogen, as we know. And estrogen, of course, needs to be opposed at all times. And there's all these studies, not all these studies, but a few that show these people with traumatic brain injury and the getting the inflammation reduced in their brain by getting mm-hmm. intravenous progesterone, bioidentical progesterone, not progestins, of course. And so I got really into that whole concept of like, how can I get injectable progesterone? But guess mm-hmm. what? You can't unless you're pregnant. Or unless you have a really, really good doctor who is up on all this stuff and there just aren't those people hardly at all.
Yeah, good luck finding that.
Good luck. And I was so bummed because I thought I literally went to this regenerative sports doctor here in LA and that you probably have heard of. And, you know, he's this big white haired jacked dude.
Oh,
you
know? Located on Ocean Park Boulevard. Got him.
So funny. Ding, ding, ding.
Handsome fella.
Yeah. Hi. My name is Dr. Earl.
Boy, does he make you feel comforting, huh?
Right. Just like... But this is a guy, I'm in his office. I want to get some injectable progesterone. He's like, no, that's it. And there's unless you're pregnant that we don't even have it. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, but you're going to give me injectable testosterone.
Yeah.
And then
because it's trendy.
I know. And then I'm like asking him questions about my, you know, stuff that I know. And mm-hmm. I asked him to be on my podcast and he didn't follow through. But I was like, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about, this guy. He's just here to get people ripped and jacked. And
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it's sort of like, you know, maybe 30 years ago when you were trying to do the same thing, a lot of guys weren't getting testosterone. Well, there was a period of time, I guess it was like not early 90s, maybe, where you could just walk in. It was sort of like the marijuana clinics around LA. You know, you just go in, you're just like, I'm hurt. And they're like, okay, weed, here we go. Here's your prescription. You know, it was sort of like that. But then, there was a period of time where it was very difficult to find, you know, to be able to find a doctor that would prescribe it to you.
Yeah.
But now, like I said, with all these clinics that you mentioned, especially around cities like LA, New York, Miami, easy peasy. Now it does make you feel good. It does make you feel good. Boy, does it make you feel good. But when I stopped taking testosterone, and I never took crazy amounts, it was just, like I say, I'm a big fan of experience. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people talk about things they've never experienced, and it's a problem. Mm-hmm. Makes you feel good. But when I stopped using it, boy, was I a fucking mess. Oh boy.
Really?
Oh yeah. The whole thing of like, it's a myth. It's, you know, it just, what, oh man, everything would make me so angry and anxious, and I just couldn't control my emotions as well. I definitely felt a withdrawal from testosterone, for sure.
Interesting.
For sure. So unless if you're a dude that is, you know, ready to get on it for life, I would you know, take your time maybe with using it, because because there is such a thing as you could start taking it and then you may just never, it's, you know, it's very not very common. Most doctors even will tell you that if you take some and then stop, your testosterone will, you know, come back normally eventually.
Yeah.
But you know, it does happen that some guys just never regain it back, you know, the same way that they used to be, and then they have to be on it for life.
I mean, but the reason most, no, maybe I shouldn't say that. I say the reason most people take it is because they aren't making healthy levels.
Sure.
But that's probably not true. Probably more guys will take it, but you know, a lot of women are taking it, and it's some women do really well. I did not. I converted it to estrogen even with the blockers, and I didn't want to take the blocker, so it made mm-hmm. it worse. So I mm-hmm. stopped. But
again, don't you think it's such a reductionist kind of thinking again, where it's, we've narrowed it down again now to, oh, it's testosterone that you need. That'll fix everything in your life.
Right.
And you'll feel better. And I don't know. I think a lot of dudes are getting more jacked, like I said, because it does make you feel good.
Yeah.
hey, cocaine makes you feel good, right? We talked about it earlier. You know,
I wouldn't
saying?
Know.
Hey, me neither. But testosterone will make you feel good, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know, that is that going to really fix everything, all your problems? Or maybe, hey, maybe you start taking testosterone and you're getting more jacked, and now you're got it in your mind that you're working out every day and the ladies like you and you find a girlfriend. I mean, hey, maybe it does fix things. You know what I'm saying? I think life is so much more complicated than just one hormone in your life.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, you know, I mentioned this earlier, but like when it comes to something like libido, and you're in a relationship, you're married, and you know, you're like, oh man, what's happening to my libido? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you know, you don't care if it's, mm-hmm. if it's this, if you've narrowed down and you've, what did you call it? You get to simplifying your thinking into this
reductionism. Yeah.
And then you're like, I just got to try it because I got to see if it helps. But then, then I'm faced with, when I got off of it, I was faced with, okay, well then how do I fix this? And I'm a healthy gut girl. I've been a gut health, you know, expert for a while. And now I've moved into the hormone field for 7 years and I can't fix my own libido. So mm-hmm. then I start going, okay. And you know, then you do really get into reductionist thinking where you're mm-hmm. starting to biohack your own thyroid. But I think that that's great because now I am getting my libido back and it's like, mm-hmm. So it's really a dance, I feel like, where you have to navigate your way through what's working for you and what, without losing your mind about it, right?
Yes, because we're all looking for that. If it's not testosterone, it's testosterone boosters, right? Or libido boosters. And,
right.
you know, I brought up Charles Pollock when he had a bit about that. Kind of, it was kind of funny. One time somebody asked him, like, what supplement will boost your testosterone significantly? And he would say, changing your partner. But there's some, it's a harsh truth, right? Is it really the, you know, are you really lacking some sort of thing in your body?
Or have you been married for 15 years?
Exactly. Which again, I totally understand. I mean, I never been married 15 years, but I'm saying I understand, you know, but is it really the one little tiny thing in this supplement bottle that you get that's going to boost your testosterone? Or is it that you're going to meet somebody that you think, you know, you're super attracted to and that libido is going to go way up right away, right?
Right. Wait a minute. Okay, if I can bottle that. You know. Right. Well,
exactly.
You know, in the defense of my husband, who is super, super hot. And I definitely think that, and we don't have kids, so we have like the luxury of just loving on each other. But I'm like, this is definitely a biochemical because there's no reason for me to feel like that, you know? So, you know, it's like, you got to just keep picking at things. Oh, you know, going back to that Weston Price concept, and maybe it's not so much biohacking, but saying like, what is it that I am doing that's not serving me? And one of the things that I learned in the last few weeks, and I used to work for Donna Gates. I was her, the body ecology diet woman who does all the gut remediation for children with autism and candida gut remediation and all that. And I used to be her raw chef and I would make kefir and fermented foods and all that stuff. And I kind of came away from it and I don't know why I did. And then I came back to it just recently and Morley Robbins, we were talking about the most highest concentrated forms of vitamin A retinol and how cream, like raw cow cream is just like, And I just started hitting the cow cream again and just like literally drinking it. And I could do that, like just like glug, 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 like right out of the bottle. Kind of like the dude at Whole Foods, the one who eats all the raw meat. Right?
What's his name? John.
Anyway, just like that, like just drinking like whole cream out of the bottle. And
is that that one brand? The one that's, you know, the only commercially available raw?
Or Raw Farm.
Yeah, they used to be like, it used to be called pasture, green pastures, I think, right pastures. Back in the day when I first moved to LA. Yeah, it was uber hard to find and it was like $25 back then. Now they kind of lowered the price a bit.
I know, which makes you wonder. But so I've been doing that and their kefir. And then I'm like, you know what? I think I'm just eating wrong again. And it just came back down to kind of that thing. And then I'm checking my thyroid and checking, you know, digging into that stuff. But like, wow, I really just have not been eating as well as I thought I should have been. And that, so that brings me to, we'll wrap it up here, that unless you got something else you want to, I just like, so, you know, tell me all about the benefits of oat milk. I know you love it and you have
oat milk. You know, it started as a joke, really. Well, again, I've been in this world for a long time, so I've seen the. I guess first it was probably soy milk, and then it was almond milk, right? And then it was other, maybe coconut milk. You'd see that at Trader Joe's, and then now it's oat milk. That's the one, right?
Yeah.
And so I've seen those come and go, and they've always tasted like shit, all of them. So, you know, let's stop pretending. Yeah. People are only drinking it because they think it's better or whatever. I mean, I mean, maybe some people have the taste for that shit, but stop it. It just, you know, it's funny. Right. It's also really funny that it's mimicking a thing which is supposedly bad for you and is bad for the environment and is, it doesn't taste good. And it has all this pus from the cows and it's so why are you frothing your milk up to make it milk, to make it more milky, which is a real thing, milk, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But yeah, it was kind of a, like, I went into a coffee shop and I got a, I asked for a latte and the barista asked me for, you know, what kind of milk. And I said, whole. And I think maybe it sounded like oat, whole oat. I don't know. Maybe my accent or some shit. Cool. Yeah. And then I got a latte and I drank it and I was, and I realized that's oat milk. And I said, is this oat milk? So yeah. And I was like, oh my God, this tastes like shit. And then I just kind of posted about it on Instagram as a joke, you know? And a lot of people are like, yeah, it does taste like shit. And then the next day I maybe made another post about it and it just kind of evolved from there. So, yeah.
I mean, it's not just that it's like all those things you mentioned, but it's really not good for you. Like it's filled with polyunsaturated fats and it's just gross. It's just like not good. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's, it has a lot of, probably has a lot of glyphosate in it from all the, you know, rundown.
Yeah, not
organic. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess if the only way, if you buy organic oats and make it yourself and blend it up and then strain it through a cheesecloth and then froth it up to try to make it resemble milk, maybe then it's better for you and tastes a little better, but it's milk, normal milk's real better. Yeah. Why? Just why? You know, it doesn't have any nutrition in it, right? It's not really any nutrients in it that, you know, again, we talked about milk. Milk has A, D, K, all sorts of stuff in it. Vitamin C in it, you know, and oat milk, I don't know. So fuck oat milk.
Yeah. And then what about, you know, what's a person supposed to use in their coffee if they're vegan?
Well, they're vegan. Again, been there, done that. I've been through the, you know, yeah, it's bad for the environment. It's unnatural. The whole, that's probably the biggest thing what people say with their vegan, right? It's like unnatural, you know? It's,
yeah.
Did you know that animals are the only animals in the world that, or humans are the only animals in the world that drink the milk of other animals? It's not true. I posted a video about it before of a cat standing underneath a cow and just drinking, running down, you know, milk from the udder. You know, we're also the only animals in the world that, you know, make iPhones and do Zoom calls and podcasts.
And can get a job at Best Buy. Right.
Get a job at Best Buy.
And what's your point?
Yes, that's my point. Yeah. I think it's a very nutritious food. It has a lot of calcium. In the rapeseed world, is a very popular thing, as you mentioned. So I don't, you know, it can be for some people that I do know a lot of people that have switched over from following a certain specific diet and then falling deep into the rapeseed world and drinking a lot of milk and a lot of whole milk and getting fat and wondering why they're getting fat. And it's like, well, there is a lot of calories in it. You know, it's a thing, right?
So yeah.
I would start slow if you haven't drank milk in a long time. And I've had that experience too. When I was vegan, vegetarian, I wanted to test if I was quote unquote milk intolerant, you know?
Yeah.
And I went and got some raw milk and I drank a half gallon of it. And then I was just, you know, Johnny Cash song the next day, Ring of Fire all day. You know what I mean? I fell in, you know, and it was horrible. So I thought I'm milk intolerant. I shouldn't drink it. But then eventually I came back around again, started trying cheese and then other things. And then now I drink, I mean, I could drink a gallon right now. I just won't because I don't want to get too chubby. I'm already a thick boy. So I wouldn't go that far. But my point is I would try different milk brands. I would try, even try pasteurized, you know, it's okay. I don't think it's as bad as we all are believed or told to believe it is.
Yeah.
So I would play around with your milk consumption. I do think it's a healthy food and very nutritious for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I do too. And then, okay. Tell me about your show with Kyle.
Muniz. Oh, we do. Yeah. We also, you know, we've been buddies for a while. we usually we'll pick a two or three topics to talk about and have a conversation about. And I think this next one that we have planned, we don't have a date for it, but we just kind of do them whenever we you know, have the time. Mm-hmm. Will be about deuterium, which is kind of popular thing right now in the water world and all that kind of stuff. Cause Kyle works in a lab that he has to deal with that stuff sometimes.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So he's a very brainy guy. You should invite him on your show. He's a great guy.
Okay. Will do. Mm-hmm. Right on. I mean, this is so fun. This was such a great, I'm glad I needed some refreshing. I needed somebody to just say, stop already.
Chill out. Chill out, Katie. Just chill out. Oh, it's good, right?
Yeah. My husband was saying it too, because I was like, I really want to just lose the weight. I just want to feel. He's like, then do it. Just do
also the weight thing.
Three days on, 3 days off. Like, you know. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I work with females and males. So it's so common for women, like I said, especially from going from not eating anything or very, very limited amount, you know, like, what are you having for dinner? Just the pickle, babe. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so common with girls, right? I'm going to have this pickle. And you're like, that's your dinner? Yes. Are you kidding me? I'm so full right now. I just had a pickle. It's like salty and crunchy. I love it. Right. But it's like, okay. So you're going from that to trying to consume 3 square meals a day. And you're wondering why you're getting fat. Well, of course, you know, you're call it metabolism. Your metabolism has been downregulated. You've been, you know, you haven't been consuming a lot of calories, blah, 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 blah. My point is you've taught your machinery to run on a limited amount of gas, and now you're trying to overfill it, right? Uh-huh. So now, can that gas tank expand? I think so. I've had that many times happen myself with clients where you just slowly incorporate more food, slowly incorporate more exercise. And I don't mean weight training, bodybuilding, whatever. I just mean being active. Mm-hmm. And then eventually you'll even out. And now you notice, oh, my gas tank has expanded. I can put more fuel into it. Okay. Whereas before, again, that pickle would fill you up. And now you just, you can have a real meal. You know what I'm saying? And I'm a big fan of, do you know the Strong Sisters? Are you a follower?
I saw them on today on your Instagram.
So great, yes. Couple of girls. Anyway. I invite them too on. They talked about this account. I think it's called Be More Amish or something like that. But it's not an Amish guy, I think. But the point is, he talks about doing things more Amish-like, in a sense of, instead of eating less, like we are taught today, because yeah. Amish, by the way, consume tremendous amounts of sugar, more than I think almost everybody in the US, a lot of food. Instead of eating less, move more. You know, they're doing farm work, they're doing chores, they're walking around, they're playing outside.
Yeah. So
be a little bit more that way, instead of, you know, okay, I'm going to eat a pickle and then be on my computer for 6 hours, right? And then do nothing, go outside for the walk. We live in beautiful Southern California. So, I mean, no matter where you live, but, you know, go for a walk on the beach for a couple of hours. Right. I think a lot of times people just start moving around more, being more active. They'll notice that eventually you'll even that weight out.
Yeah. Well, you know, that I sent you the link to that Turkish woman who I think is Amish. I know that's
Weird, but well, there you go.
Yeah. She's like lives in some Amish, like in Maine or Virginia or something, in a community that's Amish, I think. And, and so, yeah, same thing. And just the same. They eat so much, and they eat like, she makes like homemade chimichangas and stuff. And you're like, yeah. Wow. But, I mean, it's like heavy, heavy food, but she just makes it from total scratch. But you made me laugh so hard with the pickle thing, because my husband will come home from work and he'll speak, what did you eat for lunch? I'm like, I had some cheesy eggs. And he said, you had the same thing we had for breakfast. And I'm like, no, that breakfast was my cheesy eggs. He's like, and that's what you had for lunch.
Oh, tell me about
that
it.
That's my lunch.
Mom. That's my mom, you know, she does that too. Oh boy.
Yeah. I mean, that's really, if you want to just break it down and smack me in the face with it, you can, which is just like your whole issue of your health, your entire life is that you were never eating. You never ate right. You know?
Yeah.
And I'll take that. I'm guilty.
Again, but, been there, done that. That's what I'm saying. I want to be like my buddy that can eat a good amount of food. Just like a normal human, three square meals, and be lean and be healthy. And like I said, I've done that before, where also when I was very low carb, drinking a lot of coffee, running a lot, look good. Then as soon as I eat, you know, a little extra carbohydrate, oh my God, I'm like, what is this, you know, FUPA happening here, right? I'm getting this fucking thing here. So it's like, what the hell? But then again, eventually you even out and you get rid of the FUPA and everything comes back to normal.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I don't know what that means. Oh my gosh. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. It was so fun to laugh about this crap, you know,
My pleasure.
And Ring of Fire, you had me with that one. For sure. My husband's
it's
like,
been a
I
pleasure.
Don't know. Yeah. Yeah. The milk and the, yeah. Anyway. Okay. Well, thank you. And
thank you for inviting me.
I will keep you posted and share this with you and all that good stuff. All your info will be in the show notes. So
sounds good. Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me.
Take care. All right.
You
bye.
Too.
Okay. So I just, you know, he just allows you to laugh at yourself and how ridiculous that you can be. You. I keep saying you, but I really mean me. you know, I have to, I can't even really, you know how everybody hates the sound of their voice? I'm the same way. I don't love the sound of my voice. You know, like my husband is baffled that I love karaoke and he loves to watch me sing karaoke, but it's not because I think I have a good voice. I just like the act of like singing and like performing. That's what it is. I mean, I don't even have to have anyone in the room. So it's not necessarily about attention. You know, I can just be singing in the middle of my room with my hairbrush and I just go to town, you know? So, but that doesn't mean I want to hear myself. So I feel bad for people listening to me at karaoke because I know I'm not that good. But, when I like listen to edit podcasts, which I do almost every day, I can't listen to it on normal speed. I have to listen to it kind of fast because I can't stand the way I sound. I think everybody's like that, you know? I just, yeah. So anyway, I don't know why I thought of that. Okay, so let's get to the sale. So I decided to have this epic sale on Premier Research Labs products. It's a 30% off. That's really awesome, especially because Premier Research Labs products are not that expensive. Some of them are, but they're not that expensive. So they're competitive and even cheaper than a lot of things. And so 30% off is awesome. This is when I recommend that you stock up on things like hydrochloric acid, like their HCL, their betaine HCL, not their HCL activator, although you can buy that too, but the HCL, which is already really inexpensive to begin with. Dr. Marshall was like, I need to make this very important supplement affordable for everyone because it's so crucial to healthy digestion. And so, yeah, so stock up on HCL, Digest. So there's digestive enzymes. That's the product is Digest HCL. And then I am a huge fan of the Liquid B, the Max, it's called Max ND. It's liquid. I get the big bottle. And because this is 30% off, you should get like the 8-ouncer. And then, their vitamin D is good, but it doesn't have K in it. And then the Deltanol. It's the Premier Tocotrienol Complex. So it's 100 milligrams from Delta Gold, containing 84% Delta Tocotrienols and 8% Gamma Tocotrienols from Anato. Okay, this is not a lot of high quality vitamin E comes from Anato. So yeah, the Digest, the HCL, the Deltanol. You know, I love their castor oil and their castor oil packs. They have all sorts of awesome things like the just a couple of use enema bucket in case you don't want to commit to buying like a stainless steel or a glass one. You can just get this one and it's really inexpensive. They have excellent whey protein. They have really good pink salt and nutritional flakes. Bilivin is an important product. It's a product that I highly recommend for people who have gallbladder concerns, especially women who were on the birth control for a long time, or they know they have gallstones. Women who don't have gallbladders or men who don't have gallbladders, also really a good product because it helps to dissolve sediment, hepatic stones, sediment from the liver, just the garbage that normally would collect in your gallbladder, but is now collecting in the bile ducts around your liver. So all of that stuff, this Bilivin is really supportive of that. If you're doing a flush, a liver flush, it helps to dilate the neck of the gallbladder. If you're going through a gallbladder attack, really helps to dilate that neck of the gallbladder and helps purge any kind of grossness out of there. from stones to sludge to sediment. It's just a pretty fantastic product. I could go on and on about the stuff they offer, but now is the time to use that coupon. It's a long coupon. I can't describe it because you have to put the entire thing in. It's a silly coupon, but it's in the show notes. So please go into the show notes, look at that coupon, cut and paste it, use the entire thing, even the 30% part. Use the whole thing. Otherwise it won't work. And when you sign up for Premier Research Labs, you have to do so by signing up for an account. Like, you can't just go in and buy their stuff. You have to sign up for an account under me. You're going to see it's super easy. You just register for an account for free, and then you'll be able to get in and shop after that. Yeah, so take advantage of that. And yeah, if you want to reach out to Leo or follow him, all the information is in the show notes, and we'll talk to you soon.